Good morning. It is a Monday morning, and we're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, great to be back with you this morning.
And let me put it this way, great to have you back. I loved all your substitutes, but there's only one David Gustina, and boy, are we a team. We really know, you know, each other's moves, and it's great to have you back.
We've been married very, very long time now, Alan, and it's wonderful. And I left out the too long because it is a great partnership. Now, we look at the news and we see that lawmakers now returning today in Washington, Alan, facing intense public pressure to break their decades-long gridlock on gun control, a demand fortified by a bipartisan group of governors calling for Congress to take action to protest against mass shootings. And we have a president of the United States proposing his own solution, which is to arm teachers and give them a bonus for being trained and armed.
Well, he has been met with much derision for the idea of arming teachers. Let me just say that there are a lot of good reasons not to do it. It puts a certain amount of fear in the teachers themselves and makes them targets. It puts fear into the children. It is not why they're there. They're there for other reasons. And, of course, it is a typical Trump way of doing things, which is to come up with a simple, simple solution as opposed to doing the right things. So at the same time, he's yelling for more mental health, for example, in the gun controversy. He's cutting the mental health budget. That's extraordinary. In any case, a lot of people are very angry with the NRA right now because they really have overplayed their hand. And as a result, there is a certain amount of hell to pay where they're concerned. So major corporations are withdrawing their discounts, for example, for NRA members. There is a certain amount of information that is now coming out and has been publicly broadcast that shows that the people who previously were afraid of the NRA are getting less so. We're finding out that millennials, for example, are far tougher, meaning that they really want gun control. And those are the people who are coming up, and those are the people who the major corporations know will spend their money with them if they are tougher on the NRA. So it does look like that while this may not be the last straw for the NRA, who has been reported to get a good deal of their financing from the gun companies, this carnage just can't be permitted to go on. When you think of Sandy Hook and you think of the kind of carnage that has happened across this country and frankly the world, it has to stop. And sensible gun control has to be part of that.
If nothing substantive gets done, Alan, could this become a salient issue in the midterm elections?
Well, whether it gets done or not, I'm sure it will be a salient part of the elections. Look, when those kids walk out of their high schools and get down to Tallahassee and look these guys in the eye, it has got to put mortal fear in the hearts of politicians. You and I have talked so many times about how there is no such thing as profiles and courage anymore, just doing the right thing, even if it costs you your office. But when those kids come down, they're going to be voters. Their parents are going to be voters. People are furious, and that'll turn most people around. I saw something reported, which was that in the latest polling, Democrats are wildly in favor of this. Republicans are a little less than half in favor of gun control reform, which I find very interesting, but also, you know, telling in terms of the fact that so many Republicans still support Donald Trump.
As the trial continues in Manhattan of New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's former top aide, Joe Percoco, Alan, interesting article in the Buffalo News by Tom Precious, which points out that even though the governor has been tight-lipped, when he went on MSNBC to talk about gun control and the SAFE Act, inevitably the question comes from the host about the trial and the article focusing on the damage that can do.
Well, that's right. His position all along has been, hey, I have nothing really to do with this. We've seen that most of the time Andrew Cuomo was in New York City as opposed to Albany to do his work. All of a sudden, he's pretty far away from New York City a good deal of the time. Look, this is very damaging to Cuomo. Whether these guys are found guilty, and I have my doubts whether they will be, but even so, the fact that he chose his top people and that they played games, allegedly, becomes a huge part of his legacy. And now the New York Times comes out in an article this morning saying despite the fact that Cuomo has always been a model of announced rectitude when it comes to ethics, it turns out that despite the fact that, according to the Times, you're not supposed to be asking for money for the people you've appointed to boards and commissions and things, he has hugely. And that, of course, becomes a lead article in the Times and very tough on Cuomo.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, joining us, the one and only. Thank you, Alan. Good to be back.
And we are so happy to have you.